Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Brett King, who is the CEO of Movin. Hey, Brett, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
So just a little context for those listening. Movin is a downloadable bank account that incorporates mobile payments, banking, and an interesting gamification-based money management system. And so the reason that we're chatting today, Brett, is about news that you recently made about your smartwatch app that basically gives consumers real-time updates each time they make a purchase to let them know just how much their financial situation is impacted by what they just purchased, sort of like your digital financial conscience. So I'm curious, what's the reaction so far?
Well, you know, it's been subdued because I think we're still trying to figure out how many people are using it regularly and what the impact of it is. You know, we had an early burst of activity around it, of course, with the when we announced it. For us, it's a learning curve to figure out, is it more impactful to have something on your wrist where you don't have to pull the phone out of your pocket, you know, to get that feedback? Is that more powerful from a behavioral change perspective? So that's what we're really interested in, and I think that's going to take a little bit longer than, you know, just a couple of weeks for us to sort of really figure out. But the industry response was fantastic. I think people are starting to see that when you think outside of the box in terms of these interactions, that we've gone beyond just a pure banking app. This is now something that looks more akin to a fitness app on your smartwatch, but it's obviously oriented towards your finances.
Interesting. So what's the typical Movin profile? What's the customer base look like?
Well, it's changing all the time. Obviously, we designed it for millennials. The baseline for when we started Movin was, what does a millennial bank account look like in 2020 and how do they get it? And it was, you know, the conclusion we came to was, well, they don't go to a branch, they download it to their phone, and it has to be something that, you know, context-based and also responds to their environment, et cetera. So, you know, when we started, a lot of early adopters of tech and a lot of millennials. But particularly the last couple of months, as we've seen rapid growth, you know, we get a big New Year's resolution push and things like that, and we tended to get across the whole spectrum. So, you know, we're getting people are using it as their only bank account that would have been classified in the unbanked segment previously. And then we've got people at the high end of the spectrum. So I couldn't say there's really a clear demographic emerging.
And why are they attracted to what you're doing? What do you give them that their traditional banking relationships don't?
Primarily, it's that feedback. You know, the people who are using the product most in terms of using it every day, people who just wanted that element of awareness, control, and, you know, help getting their finances in control. You know, there's other elements of the experience, I think, which attract people. You know, the low fee structure or zero monthly fee structure. You know, we've got a wide ATM network in the US, but people who are mobile first as well. So, but I think in terms of the core attraction, one of the interesting things is when I see the support tickets coming through, the most requested feature that we have is for joint accounts. And, you know, we sort of tried to figure out that why that is. So we asked the customers who are asking, they said, well, look, when I started using this, I thought this is great, but I need my wife on this as well. You know, we need to be able to manage our household budget on this. So the idea being at the start of the month, they put their budget on and then they can see whether they're in the green or in the red, you know, on the screen every day as they transact. And it sort of helps them keep their budget in control.
Personal financial management has really had a tough road over the last several years. It's one of those things that, like dieting, everyone thinks they need to do, and a lot of people start it but fall off the wagon for a variety of reasons. Do you think the smartwatch or apps like that will give personal financial management the boost that it seems to need?
I think we're moving beyond personal financial management into something else now, and we don't have a problem with PFM adoption of that move. And 100% of our customers use PFM, right? Because it's not a distinct tab. It's not. But there's the other element as well, is that I think what we realized in our planning process, which is why you'll never see the word budgeting in our description of the product, or you know, see us doing goal setting, is that those elements of budgeting require a high level of discipline. They require a lot of work. So just like dieting, the analogy you used, after New Year's, everyone's like, well, I've had a big Christmas, so I better get out and get fit, and I better get on a diet. And it's hard. It's hard to do that stuff. And we find that nine out of 10 people find budgeting really hard too. You know, so this is why we design, and it's gone beyond PFM to really sort of a behavioral finance model. Something that's integrated in the experience, where the gamification of the behavior is the key. So we're changing behavior a little bit by little bit. All we have to do to get you to save money is get you to stop spending, you know, money every month. So, you know, a little bit, if we stop you using some of that discretionary spend on Starbucks or on Uber or whatever it is, or eating out, and we reduce that just a little bit each month, then you're saving more and more. So rather than it being, oh, I've got to set a goal and, you know, I'm going to have this much for this bucket and this much for that bucket, and or having to look at a graph and compare it, just every day you're getting a little bit of subtle feedback, and it's giving you awareness where your pain points are, where those areas are, where your discretionary spending needs a little bit more control, and just you know, prompting you to change your behavior. And that's the only way PFM is really going to have influence, when it's real time, when it's contextual, and when it helps people change their behavior little bit by little bit.
The space is getting more interesting. I'm sure you saw the news about the acquisition of Level Money by Cap One, which is a similar concept. How has that impacted your thinking about what you're doing, if at all?
Well, you know, there was a time when we thought a logical path for Movin would be that we'd be acquired by, you know, a bank. But now, as we've started to broaden out with our banking partnerships around the world, we've launched with Westpac in New Zealand and TD in Canada, and there'll be further announcements in that vein in the next 6 months. You know, we're now starting to build a fairly phenomenal network of Movin users around the world. And now we're starting to think, well, you know, by the end of this year, we could have a network of users on our app bigger than Square has in terms of their user population. And in the year after that, we could be sort of closing in on the likes of PayPal or someone similar in terms of number of users. So it's almost as if it's become a little bit too big for a bank to take us over. But, you know, it becomes a very interesting network. I think in terms of Level, I think good on them. You know, Cap One's been very aggressive lately. You know, they acquired Adaptive Path, and now the Level guys, Cap One's sort of building this very interesting, you know, collection of technologies. It'd be interesting to see if they can integrate it all smoothly. But congrats to them. Yeah, as a startup CEO, you've always got one mind. One part of your thinking is about the exit strategy. So it's good to see, you know, companies doing deals like that.
It's interesting. So your part of your strategy, your distribution strategy, and how you're scaling is working through banks who are interested in both attracting the millennial base and offering different way of helping their customers manage their finances responsibly.
Yeah, I think the reason the banking partners who we're working with have come to us, there's a few reasons. One is that they feel that our, you know, product is best practice in terms of this behavioral element and, you know, a day-to-day engagement model. Secondly, that day-to-day engagement model lends itself towards a much better mobile revenue strategy than you could get on a normal banking app. And thirdly, they feel that our iteration cycle in terms of innovations and what we can push out the door in terms of new features and thinking exceed their ability or their ability to do it at the same cost. Right. So I think that's what attracts banking partners to us. So when we were fairly pragmatic about this at the start, which was, you know, we had a lot of interest in Movin when we launched, and a lot of people, you know, talking about a lot of banks saying, would you be interested in licensing this? And then, you know, last year before our a Series A round, you know, it sort of became clear this is a great revenue opportunity and gave us this ability to get potentially moving on, you know, the phones of 100 million customers around the world. And we could never do that if we it would be very unlikely that we'd do that if we stayed and kept alive.
Well, or expensive, one of the two.
Yeah.
A couple questions about the behavior of your customer, your user. You talk a lot about this gamification really being about behavioral change. What have you observed?
We're actually just doing some, you know, revisions to the data on this, but, you know, you see for our most engaged customers, and it's probably about 25-30% of our customers, within the first 30 days or so, you'll see them, they try out the product, and then they'll put a bit of money on it after they've tried it and they've seen the feedback, the real-time receipt, and the app homepage experience. But then they'll put a little bit more money on, and by 30 days you start to see them using it regularly. Then the deposit climbs up until they've essentially put all of their discretionary spending on Moovin, and they'll start the month by putting, you know, their spending allocation on, and they'll use Moovin as their exclusive day-to-day discretionary spending account. So this is exactly how we designed it. So, that's perfect behavior for us. And, you know, when people are using it three or four times a day, then they're getting the maximum benefit of that feedback loop. So that's, I would say that's about top third of our customers. And then you've got other customers who use the product primarily more so for aggregation. And you've got a large base of our customers who have at least two external bank accounts linked in. So they're using it more like a real-time mint tool. The real benefit they get, and that represents another, say, 40% of the customers. But the real benefit is when we can sort of migrate those customers to being daily active card users.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of interesting possibilities ahead. The notion of a network of consumers who are motivated to be disciplined financially, but who also have discretionary money to spend. It seems like there are a number of ways to satisfy all of those objectives. Have you given any thought to how you might further monetize your network?
Absolutely. Key for us will be the fact that we have incredible behavioral data across the globe as we start to build this out. So leveraging off that, based on location and the time of day that they spend, what they spend on, the top categories for specific demographics, things like that. You know, there's going to be some phenomenal data there where we can build a responsive system. So you're going to see the next release of the product, you will start to see us using the notification layer of the operating systems, Android and iOS particularly, to really start to be more responsive to customers' needs. So there will be, impulse savings, there might be emergency cash facilities and things like that, which are responsive to customers' behavior, location, and so forth. And so as we see that evolving, I'd say it's more likely that, we're going to be building a real-time financial services, response network, where, across the globe, we have this platform built on behavioral data that responds to customers, for a need for a financial product in real time, whether that's walking into a car dealership and getting a car loan, or whether that is just simply helping them save better, giving them emergency cash when they walk into a grocery store and don't have enough cash to do their weekly shopping.
Interesting. Well, Brett, it's been really great to catch up and get the latest and greatest on what you're doing, and we'll be curious to see how the smartwatch app experience works. As you suggested, perhaps having it function almost like a fitness app where you're checking in and seeing how you're progressing in real time is something that people value, and having it on their wrist instead of on their phone is TBD. So we look forward to catching up as your learnings evolve. Thanks again.
Thanks, Karen.